committee meets today to hear testimony on the proposed settlement of the Cobell versus Salazar litigation. Under the proposed $3.4 billion agreement, $1.4 billion would be used to settle historical accounting claims as well as mismanagement claims. The remaining $2 billion would be used to address the fractionated Indian lands program, problem. This settlement agreement will end almost 14 years of contentious litigation. For the first time ever, the parties have come together and agreed upon a proposed settlement. I commend the parties for overlooking their differences, trying to resolve the issues, and putting an end to the court battle. While I support settlement of this case, some in Indian country have raised questions and concerns. The parties have responded to many of these issues, and I praise Eloise Cobell for sending wide-reaching, lengthy emails answering questions she has received. I encourage the Cobell parties to view this hearing as another forum in which to educate not only Congress but also Indian country on the agreement. Upon acceptance of this agreement, a secretarial commission on trust reform would be established by the Interior Department. This is a welcome initiative and long overdue, but it will only be successful if the tribes are at the table from the beginning and the department truly listens to what they have to say. And the department must remember one size does not fit all. I would be remiss if I did not take a moment to reflect on what has brought us to this point. Over 100 years of mismanagement of Indian trust funds by the U.S. and decades of ignoring the problem. I've been here long enough to remember our former colleague Mike Sinar from Oklahoma back in the mid-1980s, spending 5 years on a report detailing the breadth and scope of the problem. That report started the congressional focus on fixing the problem. Since that time, Congress has held numerous hearings, passed legislation, and appropriated millions of dollars to reform trust fund management and give Indian trustees greater control over their funds. Many in this time I have sat in this room and heard from the Interior Department that they had plans for a new, latest, greatest computer system that would fix all the problems. Do not misunderstand me. I believe those plans were made with the best intentions, but the problem remained that moving date to any one system could not fix all the problems, and no computer system can recreate documents lost decades ago. Many people have worked on the reform issue over the years, and they've moved on. The one constant through it all has been Eloise Cobell. I have nothing but the utmost respect and admiration for Eloise. She's not once faltered in her mission to mend the system and ensure that future Indian Laotis benefit from a well-managed trust fund process. Eloise, we thank you for your tenacity and all of your hard work. The trust fund mismanagement and lawsuit has been very frustrating to all involved and at times tempers overheated. Thankfully, we have with us today only persons dedicated to bringing this chapter to a close and willing to do the work needed to see that that happens. I look forward to their testimony. Recognize the ranking member.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for scheduling this meeting on Cobell versus Salazar, the settlement agreement. Mr. Chairman, it was on December 7th of last year that this settlement was announced, and it was greeted with widespread hope across Indian country that a resolution was at hand. I, too, am very hopeful that a fair treatment for individual Indians is close at hand. This lawsuit, as the Chairman has mentioned, has gone on far too long, and it's my first priority that individual Indians are treated fairly in this manner. However, I must admit a degree of concern that the $3.4 billion settlement that was announced on December 7th had an initial expiration date of December 31st, only 24 days later. That deadline was subsequently extended to February 28th and now on April 16th. So my concerns are twofold. First, the urgency for action by the parties to the settlement, at least thus far, has not been open to any transparent action by this Congress. We're over 3 months after the initial settlement, and now we are holding our first public hearing, and I commend again the Chairman for doing that. But this hearing does come only after this committee was contacted by individual Indians and several Indian organizations simply asking for more information on what this settlement means. It's troubling that affected Indians have felt concerned that there may be a rush to action before public hearings were held so that they may better understand the settlement. My second concern has been the astonishing fact that no actual bill to implement the settlement has yet been introduced in either House. For 3 months, there has been no legislative text before either the House or the Senate, and more importantly, there is no introduced bill available to be read by those who are directly affected by the settlement. So deadlines are being imposed on Congress to act with uncharacteristic swiftness, and yet there is no introduced bill for Congress to even look at or those interested parties to look at. This raises a question of when and how this settlement agreement is going to be enacted. Will it be an open, transparent manner that respects the rights of individual Indians to see and understand what is happening? Or will it be done in a manner that instead puts the emphasis on speed and haste? On the details of the settlement itself, there are several matters that I certainly would like the witnesses to address, issues that have been raised by Indians in their correspondence with this committee. First, I want to distinguish between the $1.4 billion portion of the settlement agreement that resolves the Indian historical accounting class action lawsuit and also extinguishes all potential damages claim, and the $2 billion portion that provides funding to existing authorized Department of Interior programs to purchase fractionated lands, those two issues. First, the $1.4 billion will provide a cash payment of $1,000 to each Indian account holder. While the class action case was not a money claims case, there is clearly merit in settling by paying cash awards and starting with a clean slate. The bulk of the $1.4 billion portion, however, will go to settling damages claims, which were not litigated in the Cobell case. It's my understanding that a key reason behind the need for congressional action on the settlement agreement is this matter of damages claim. The district court has no jurisdiction over them, and legislation is needed to create these claims while simultaneously resolving them. I have to admit this does raise a degree of concern that Congress would serve as the lawyer, judge, and jury in unilaterally dispensing with the claims of thousands of individual Indians. However, the parties to the settlement agreement have concluded this is a critical component, and they should weigh very heavily in our consideration. I certainly respect that. Though it is important to ask for information on how this affects individual Indians and whether they are being treated fairly in this process. And second, Mr. Chairman, there is a matter of the attorney fees. Reports have said that lawyers could be paid between $50 and $100 million. Now, that is a very high amount of money. I believe it is important to understand what specific justification exists for this large payment to the lawyers in this case, and whether they are collecting any fees from the settlement of damage claims that they did not represent. Lawyers deserve to be paid fairly for the actual work that they perform, but there appears to be no accounting or records to back up this high level of fees. Congress should have that information, especially as it is my understanding that fees paid to lawyers comes from the same pot of money that compensates individual Indians. When every dollar that goes into the pocket of a lawyer comes out of the pocket of an individual Indian, I think it's our responsibility as members of Congress to look at this very closely. Lastly, greater clarity would be helpful on the portion of the settlement agreement that provides $2 billion for the consolidation of fractionated Indian lands. How is this related to the settling of claims? Was it included at the request of the plaintiffs or the government? What oversight will be provided to ensure the best benefit to taxpayers, individual Indians, and Indian tribes as a result of this portion of this part of the settlement? In conclusion, I do want to thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for holding this hearing. I believe it is an important step and an opportunity to improve our understanding and the understanding of affected Indians of this settlement agreement. So with that, thank you, and I yield back my time.
Other members wish recognition? Chair of our Native American Caucus, Mr. Kildy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to commend President Obama, Attorney General Holder, and Interior Secretary Salazar for their attention to this matter and their continued efforts to strengthen the the relationship between the United States and the tribal nations. And I want to commend Eloise Cobell. Tenacity is a great virtue, and she certainly has exercised that tenacity for justice. When you're going to be a seeker after justice, you have to pursue your justice and the justice of those with whom you are associated. She's done a wonderful job in this, and I think sets an example for us in the Congress, who has an obligation to pursue justice. And let's take an example from her, who would not give up and pursued this relentlessly with a great devotion. And I think this is one where we have to give our devotion to this, that this is a moral issue, more than just a legal issue. It's a moral issue. We have to make sure that we do what is morally and legally right and make these things as right as humanly possible. We know that records have been lost and this figure has been agreed upon, but I want to hope that when I stand for my judge that I can present a good case of having done good as Eloise Cobell has done. Yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman from American Samoa, Mr. Famavoika.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a member of our American Indian Congressional Caucus, I do thank the gentleman from Michigan and also our colleague from Oklahoma, Mr. Cole, as co-chairman of our Congressional Caucus for American Indians. And I do want to thank you and Mr. Hastings for what I thought was pretty comprehensive statements in terms of the situation that we're now in. The only concern that I have, Mr. Chairman, is that 384,000 accounts involving some 250 Indian tribes, 100 years of mismanagement, and we can only come up with $3.5 billion. Something's missing here, Mr. Chairman, I submit. And I think this is one reason why we had the courageous efforts by Ms. Eloise Cobell, because not only the Congress was not able to resolve the thing, it seems like getting this $3.5 billion is like pulling teeth. Oh, but we can spend $900 billion in fighting the war in Iraq, and the 5 million Native Americans and all of the men and women who served in the armed forces who bleed and die for our country. I just want to say something's amiss here, Mr. Chairman, and I really honestly believe that $3.5 billion is pittance. And I think likely to what Mr. Hastings was saying, paying our attorneys $50 to $100 million, there's something wrong with that too. I do want to associate myself with the comments that Mr. Hastings has made, the concerns about how we're proceeding with this effort in so-called settling this years, 100 years of mismanagement. The fact that there was even efforts of reorganizing the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and nothing has come about on that situation. But I do want to say I do have some very serious questions about how we come up with a figure like $3.5 billion. I thought at least it should have been 9 to 10 billion. And even that was very difficult to ascertain. And supposedly, we had given every opportunity to the Department of the Interior to come up with the numbers, come up with the figures. And if they couldn't, there's got to be a better way of calculating exactly what was lost, what was stolen, or in terms of the mismanagement on the part of our government to be the trustees of the resources that was rightfully owned by the Indian tribes. I do want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for calling this hearing. I hope it won't be the last. It will be more in the coming weeks and months. And let's just look into it a little more and a little deeper. And I, too, want to say how much my utmost respect for Eloise Cobell for her courage, for her commitment, not only on her own behalf, but certainly among all the Indian tribes that were affected by the bottom line mismanagement by the Bureau of Indian Affairs of the accounts of our Native American people. This is just a real sad commentary. I don't know if I should stand up and say hooray, hallelujah, for $3.5 billion, or I should say something is wrong here. I think our Indian Americans deserve a lot more than this, and I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other members wish to make opening comments? General Aiden from California.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Ray Hall, for the hearing. You know, I've sat through this committee hearings in this room for almost 12 years, a little over 12 years, and listening to many of the things through the years, it is very apparent that we have not paid the, as the comments by Mr. Fale McVega and my colleague Kip McKildy, there's a lot missing, and somehow we are not focused on being able to rectify the wrongs that have been done to the Native Americans for decades. In my subcommittee on water and power, we continue to honor the tribe's water claims. I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I thank the administration for trying to get moving. I just somehow we feel frustrated that we may not be moving fast enough or wide enough to be able to understand that if we help our Native American tribes, they can take care of their own. They'll be able to succeed in economy, in educating their children, and being able to do all the things that we have not kept them from, but not helped them. We've taken from them and not helped them. So to see the not even to see the benefit settlements to reimburse families and community is really a travesty upon our own people, because Native Americans are our first Americans. We need to bring this to a closure, and whatever we can do to help, Mr. Chairman, we're ready to do so. And thank you so very much for this hearing.
Thank the gentlelady. Gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Grijalva.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the hearing. Let me briefly just associate myself with the comments that Mr. Kildy made, and also take the privilege and the opportunity to welcome my good friend Austin Nunez from back home. Welcome, and again, thank you for the hearing. It's important, and the sooner we move, the sooner we can begin the resolution to this issue that has been around too long. Thank you, sir.
Any other comments, opening statements? Gentlelady from Virgin Island, Dr. Christensen.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, thank you for holding this hearing. And I've been here for 14 years. I remember my first joint hearing over at the Senate on this issue and being left to chair what was a very, very difficult hearing. But I'm just glad that we're coming close to ending an injustice that has existed for far too long. There's still much work to be done, but I want to take this opportunity to also applaud Ms. Cobell and those who supported her, and look forward to the testimony of our witnesses this morning.
Okay, no further opening statements. We'll now recognize, before I recognize the witnesses, I would like to note that our longtime staff director of the Office of Indian Affairs, Marie Howard, is retiring at the end of this month. This will be the last hearing she will staff. There she is. And for almost 30 years now, Marie has worked on this committee fighting for Indian country. And I, on behalf of all of us on the committee, the members on the committee, want to express my appreciation to Marie, both professionally and personally, for her dedication, her professionalism, and the manner in which she has so well conducted herself over these 30 years. So, Marie, congratulations to you, and we want to wish you the best as you continue to work for Indian country.
Will the chairman yield?
Yes, be glad.
I might also add the fact that just about every major piece of legislation affecting our Native American community has Marie Howard's signature on it. I also want to commend her and thank her for a tremendous service that she has given on behalf of our Native American community throughout the country. Marie, you deserve every bit of it. Thank you.
Okay, our first panel is composed of the following individuals. The Honorable Michael Finley, the President of the Intertribal Monitoring Association on Indian Trust Funds from Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Honorable Austin Nunez, the Chairman, Indian Land Working Group, Tucson, Arizona. And Professor Richard Monette, the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin. Gentlemen, we welcome you to the Committee on Natural Resources today. We do have your prepared testimony. It will be made part of the record as if actually read, and you are encouraged to summarize within the five-minute time frame. And you want to go in the order I introduced you? Okay. Mr. Finley, then.